This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever you've got from your heart, a message to Brandon to honor him. We're going to play this audio directly for him on Monday upon his retirement. What would you say to BJ?
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, I love Brandon Graham. He is one of the all-time greats for the Eagles. Not only was he a great player, but he's a great person. I call him a kid, but I mean, he's past the kid stage now. So he's just a great person. And that part and his work ethic are going to carry him through the second half of his life and career and our new career. And so, but listen, Brandon Graham's he's a great one. Love him.
Well, the voice there, you know it, of Andy Reid, who was the head coach, of course, when Brandon Graham was drafted. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. I mean, Andy connects you and Brandon together. You mentioned that when you spoke to Andy when they drafted BG?
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, we drafted this kid. I want you to meet him. He reminds me of somebody. And I met him, man, and Brandon was all smiles. He probably doesn't remember that. So I walked into the locker room when he was drafted. And I remember shaking his hand and just looking at sizing him up because we were about the same height. And I was just like, okay. And he was a little smaller then. And I was just like, man, okay. And he was bright-eyed, man. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So, yeah.
I think we need more Hugh Douglas, Andy Reid impressions on the show. You got an Andy Reid voice.
Yeah. No, the funniest, like, we a lot of people don't get to see the side of Andy that I get to see. But the one that cracks me up every time I think about it is when we went to Kansas City for the game, and I got a chance to see him. And he was driving a muscle truck, a Ram. And I was like, Coach, what made you buy that truck? He's like, oh, he was so fast. He was like, it is so fast. And I just started laughing because I was just like, wow. Coach is driving a big ass T-Rex, and he was always a Cadillac Escalade, you know, suburban guy.
Yeah, he's more buttoned up, Andy, but you know.
Nah, he let his hair down. You see him on commercials talking about Bundaruskis and all this other good stuff. So, yeah, it was interesting to see.
Yeah, that is funny. I remember when you told that story. Let's go to the phone lines, and then we're going to let you hear the Jeff Fleury interview this morning with The Morning Show. Jay in Philly is up on WIP. Hey, Jay.
My guys, what's happening, fellas?
What's up, pal? What are you thinking today?
Hey, Matt, that's feeling good, Matt. That thing about BG, Matt. So it's crazy, man. He's just a Philadelphia guy. Like, you've got, like, Ben Simmons and guys like that that came through here, and they just wasn't built a cup of Philly.
Ben Simmons.
And then you got him. What's that?
No, it was just funny that's the first person's name who came to mind when you're talking about
the anti-Philadelphia, Ben Simmons and the like.
I mean, exactly. I'm just laughing because I'm like, Ben, out of all the people you could have said, Ben Simmons' name comes to mind.
Well, you know what, Jay, if we say BG is one of the most mentally strong, Ben
then that
Simmons.
Was the polar opposite.
Yeah,
okay, I got you.
That's the opposite.
Exactly,
mentally
exactly.
Weak.
So, yeah, exactly. Polar opposite, man. You got one who is built for Philly. And then you got the example of the opposite right there.
No, man. I get it. Now, it was just, you know, me. I just didn't see the correlation right off the gate.
And when I say that, you got to remember, man, Philly's in between New York and D.C.
Mm-hmm.
New York, they got, you know, they got Times Square and they got stars. You know, D.C. got politics and money. And then you got Philly.
They got Mumble Sauce down there, too, in D.C.
Who they got?
You know, Mumble Sauce.
What's that?
It's like, you know, a sauce
so
you put on chicken wing.
We in the middle. And that's us thinking about it. Before we won our Super Bowl, we the only team in the division. Everybody else had multiples. So we really was a little brother. So he went through, you know, them talking about trading, injuries, a bust, you know, really looked down on, just like Philadelphia. And then he rose, you know. So we love that story,
like
man.
The Phoenix.
More than just being great from the beginning, we love when you're not great from the beginning and become great. We love a comeback, you know, the underdog, because that's us.
Kind of like Rocky.
So he represented that 1,000%.
He did. He embodied the Eagles. I mean, under the surface, like, we knew, Jay, the Eagles were a good team. Like, they were a good team for a long time since Hugh's been here, or Hugh was playing here, but they didn't win, right? Until Brandon Graham made it, almost like the two paralleled each other perfectly, where Brandon made the play so the Eagles could be recognized. And at the same time, we recognize, like, hey, he's turned into a really good player. Jay, we appreciate the phone call. What sauce are you talking about?
Mambo sauce.
You make it sound like they only have it down there.
Well, Mambo sauce is put on the chicken wings. That's the only place I've known them to have Mambo sauce. They got it somewhere else.
I've never heard of it. I mean, could be exclusive.
But you don't go to
what
places
is it?
I
What's
go.
The sauce though?
It's like a chicken glaze, and they cut the Mambo sauce.
I feel like you're not answering the question.
Well, because I'm answering the best way I can.
What
Somebody
is it?
From
what's
DC.
Like, what's in the sauce?
It's kind of like a. It's kind of like
say
duck
chicken sauce.
Sauce
again. Okay.
No, like
hot
duck.
Sauce.
It's kind of like duck,
oh, duck
sauce.
Duck sauce. Like a
Chinese
food.
Yeah. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
It's like Asian kind of then.
Kind of.
Okay.
All right, we got to dive more into this. I'm not sure if this came up on the morning show's interview with Jeffrey Lurie, but we can listen to that. Let's hear it. Jeff Lurie, for the first time in 30 years, he was on WIP earlier today. Here was that.
It's obviously one of the most important figures in the history of Philadelphia sports, the owner of the Birds, Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey, good morning to you, and welcome to BG Day here on WIP.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. Pleasure to be on, and BG, unbelievable.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Lurie. Man, we appreciate you. Hall of Fame owner, baby.
I agree with that. That's right. Yeah.
For real.
Well, Jeffrey, so much to get into regarding Brandon's, 15 years and all that, but before we do, let me just say to you and your whole organization, but to you as the guy that, is at the top, congratulations. I mean, what a spectacular journey it's been, especially these last 8 seasons, but really for the bulk of it, all these playoff appearances. And I congratulate you and I thank you as a Philadelphia sports fan for what you and your group has brought to our culture, because you have made a monumental difference in Philadelphia sports.
Oh, well, thank you for those nice words, but it's who you surround yourself with, and I've been so fortunate between players and everyone working in the organization, coaches, and everyone. I mean, really, honestly, it's just assembling a great group of people who are dedicated, focused, and talented, and it's been a joy, and we're just in the middle of it. That's the beauty of it. We're just in the middle of it.
I love that. I do. Jeffrey, when I say to you, Brandon Graham, I ask you, what does Brandon Graham mean to you? What do you say?
Well, it takes a few seconds, but it's so much. BG, I think most people by now know we have an executive position, Director of Joy, and it's performed by a dog, and it's a very important part of the organization, Reggie. But Brandon Graham, more than anyone I can remember, is the giver of energy, the head of joy, the person who you constantly want to be next to, with, working with, talking to. He makes life around him better for everyone who is working with him or gets to know him. And that's rare in life. I mean, to be that much of an energy giver and so talented as pass rusher, teammate, high motor, all the great things he does in the community. I mean, they're just off the charts. But that to me sticks out. Really, guys, that's it's every day at practice, every day in the building, every day, just high energy, joy, brings out the best in everybody around him. I mean, that's rare.
Mr. Lurie, thank you again for joining us. How has your relationship with Brandon grown and changed over the years? 15 years, probably a lot of growing and changing, I would imagine.
Well, I remember when we drafted him, and, we were all really high. Andy was, excited. We traded up. I know everybody was kind of hoping we were trading up for a safety who was also a very good player. We're always a good player, but yeah. DG was just a huge, huge part of all of our success. And, such a dedicated kid from Detroit, and had to grow into what it was like to be a leader on the team, did early on. But, I mean, pass rush is a tough position in the NFL, as you know, with all those dancing bear tackles, and it's not easy. And, I think just got to know him early and often, and always wanted to be supportive, but he was his best own support system because he just gave to everybody, so everybody gave back to him, and Andy Reid loved him, and you know, it was just a evolved because you get to know people, you know, and that's true with you know, most players on the team. It takes time. You develop the human connection, and you get the most out of each other.
What makes Brandon such a leader?
Well, I think it's his comfort with himself. I think because he's able to totally be natural, no matter what you're doing with him. It's genuine. It's honest. It's not, you know, trying to be something he's not. He's just and understands football is such a team game that if you give more to your teammates, if you give more to your fellow defensive linemen, you know, you're going to get more out of the whole roster, the whole team. So he's always been a person that epitomizes what we always talk about as an Eagles player, just a giver and selfless. And, you know, he made the greatest defensive play in the history of the franchise. But even if he assisted on that, he would have been just as valuable. But he was, you know, obviously made the greatest play a lot of us have ever seen on defense, and won us a Super Bowl there.
Jeffrey Lurie with us here on WIP on BG Day. So Brandon, we asked, you know, Jeffrey a few minutes ago what you mean to him. Let's reverse it. Brandon, what does Jeffrey Lurie, as the tremendous owner of the Eagles and someone you really care about, because, and you know in part because he cares about you, what does he mean to you?
Man, it means a lot. Because I know that he was brought into my life for a reason. And, you know, he changed my life with just the belief in that I can help his organization. And just to see the consistency of, you know, his schedule. You see him on Thursdays on, you know, the pass rush days. You see him every week. You know, he was connected to his organization other than, you know, I hear other guys, owners, they don't be a part of, like, you don't see him as often. And so he tries to get to know us, the handshakes before the games, the talks, the building of trust that he's had in me over these years. You know, he's been so much because, you know, you strive to be at that level of, you know, just the confidence he has walking around knowing that, you know, you trust who you got around you. Like he said, those people that you surround yourself with, if anything, that's what I've learned over the years watching people in those in higher positions and seeing the consistency of their daily life and what they do. And you don't know everything, but, you know, he definitely has changed my life and means so much to me and inspired me in so many ways. Just from the, you know, just the back and forth, man, Mr. Lurie talking with me, you know, he know me, you know what I'm saying? Like that type of feeling, because it's a lot that people assume with us that, man, we so busy, but man, he takes the time. And so, if anything, that's what it's taught me, and I'm thankful to have come across it. And then even now on what we're going to build in the future, because they ain't done yet. And I want to be a part of that for sure. And, you know, we're going to figure that part out too.
Mr. Lurie, how often have you seen the chemistry between a player and the city transform in such a positive way like it did with Brandon, like it did with Jason? I mean, we were just discussing that. Both these guys, just this city, it's a success story. How do you best just relate that
well,
concept?
You know, you said it well. I mean, it stands out. There's so many players you don't know. But the ones you do they're just so connected with both the community, their teammates. Jason, BG, they obviously epitomize that. Everyone aspires to that. But some, you know, are just able to pull it off in such a human level. It was natural for Jason, natural for BG. Nobody ever questioned, you know, what were they trying to accomplish. No, they were themselves, and they became so ingrained in Philadelphia and, you know, the Eagles Nation, and just so ingrained in it that you can't even imagine a team, you know, without Jason or BG, a big part of it. So it was natural. It was a natural evolution of very special people.
Jeffrey Lurie here on WIP. You know, Jeffrey, one of the things we touched on earlier regarding BG, particularly because he got injured in the final play that he played in Super Bowl 59.
Right.
I mean, it can literally be said Brandon Graham left it all on the field. I mean, all of it.
There is no doubt.
And to watch him work to get to that final game, Super Bowl, I mean, it was monumental. Nobody had projected that he would be able to return from that injury and be able to play in that game. And, you know, one of the first things I thought of was when we won was Brandon. It was like, wow, this is how it's going to end. And I'm so glad he even got to play in the game and contributed. And it was really heartwarming.
Sure. Unbelievable. And Jeffrey, Mr. Lurie, He said all of it.
You tried there.
That's great.
I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that you and this organization, you do it differently. You focus on character. And in today's NFL, where that's very rarely the case, it's just how do you do that and win?
Well, I think it's a reason we do win. You know, it's a grind. It's a tough sport. It's not an easy life being a football player. It's easy to be the star and have it all kind of, in front of you there, but it's a grind. So I think our approach and our philosophy has been for a long time, if you're going to grind together, why not grind with people that are top-notch people? And they're givers, basically, selfless. It's like when I, accepted the trophy on the stage. I meant what I said. It was, it's a group of selfless, humble, very talented people. And that's our formula. And, I'm sometimes surprised that others don't prioritize some of those things. We do. It doesn't mean every person's going to be the perfect human being. We're not looking for that. We're looking for people that are genuine and can develop as human beings. And that's the thing. They're 22 years old when we draft them or younger. And we put a lot into development. We put a lot into the creation of what we think a team that can sustain itself and win big contains. And it's a lot of high character people.
And Jason, I want to bring you in here. Of course, we got Jeffrey on the phone right now. Jason, the grind, the grueling process of being a player, how it beats up your body. You think about it, Jason, all the greats, and you got to be great to get 10 years and more.
Yeah.
The guy seated to your left, Brandon Graham, the most seasons in Eagles history.
Yep.
The most games in Eagles history. I mean, Lane's got a shot to get there. He's got a shot.
Yeah.
But Brandon Graham, in almost 100 years, it is BG with that distinction.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remarkable title to hold. I think, really, this entire era, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I think it's Brandon, me, and Fletch are all, like, three in the top four. And like you said, Lane will be there eventually. And I think this speaks to what Jeffrey was kind of just talking about of, we went through four different head coaches. The fact that four guys stayed with the same organization for so long through really turnover and change and trying to reinvent and the way a lot of other organizations would build that, they would kind of start over. They would move on, or they would, we're going to rebuild, right? So we're going to move on from these older players. And I think something that Jeffrey, it's really important to him, Brandon epitomizes this, is keeping these people around, whether it's us as players, the coaches that have retained. I mean, Deuce was there forever. Stout stayed through transition. And I think Jeffrey and the organization for years have done a great job of, through these changes, of keeping these important pieces and some semblance of that culture that has allowed the Eagles to have success and to feel like a tight-knit group and a family and connected to the city. And we inherited that from players that played before us. And I think that's one of the masterful jobs that this organization has done. And Brandon epitomizes who that person is to the organization and the loyalty and the joy and enthusiasm. I think Jeffrey said it so well of describing not just the player, but the person that Brandon was every single day in that building. And now who's going to be the next Brandon? It's going to be really hard to replace. Nobody's going to be the next Brandon.
But you're an example of the next guy behind you can be really good,
be his own person,
and you can still win.
For sure. And I think that, again, like, us as players, the only way we live on is through the players that come after us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I certainly take great joy, and I know Brandon will too, is seeing these guys that you were there when they first got there, and they looked up to, like, how do I play for 15 years sure. in Philadelphia? You know
right.
what I mean? It's
yeah.
so it's you know, it's fun to see how that legacy and culture continues to develop. And you know, there's countless of players before us that were there when we were there and before we were there, and mm-hmm. It's just been really well done by the organization.
Well, Jeffrey, you know, with everything Jason just said, we thank you for bringing that kind of culture, you know, to our city, and really congratulate you on what you've done. It's and you said it earlier, you know, it's far from over. There's another season obviously up ahead with great possibilities, and we congratulate you on all that you've built here, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for being a huge part of BG Day today. Because, you know, Brandon, when doesn't Brandon have a smile on his face? But with the owner calling in to pay tribute to him.
It's kind of cool because I didn't know it's been that so long since he called in. So I appreciate you. I want to thank you for that. I really do want to thank you for that.
By the way, has there ever been an athlete who is known by his initials, first and last name? And you know, as a sort of amateur observer, I would say it's because everybody wants to be close to this guy. So BG becomes the way to be close to him, or you know, kind of an informal hi to him. And have we ever had an athlete anywhere where it's just first name, last name, initials? I don't remember.
I don't AI. Know. Oh, AI. Yeah, there's a lot of AI.
Okay, AI. Yeah. You're right about mm-hmm. that.
And
that's the level we're talking Philly. About here in Philadelphia
well,
is AI.
Yeah. yeah.
And then, but and then, you have to get to a certain point.
I yeah, mean, that's right.
To be just two letters.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
For you to just say two letters yeah. and everybody, millions of people know exactly who you're talking about, that's pretty crazy.
And then there's Dr. J, which is a similar sort of thing. And Brandon, you are in that revere. You're Brandon. Because, Brandon, you know when the Phillies were in the World Series a couple years ago, it was you throwing out the first pitch with Dr. J, Bernie Perron, and
Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt. Now think about that, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Perron, Mike Schmidt, Dr. J, Brandon Graham, BG.
That was cool, man. That was so cool. Got to talk to all them guys. And Bernie want me to come out to
the boat?
Cape May.
Yeah,
Cape
the
May
boat.
To do the fishing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being a huge part
you're
of BG
welcome.
Day.
I have a quick message for John. I miss you. But also,
I
you know
you
what?
Too.
We're gonna try to quietly resurrect the fullback position. Kevin Turner, yourself, maybe Ben can do some things here. We're gonna try for it. How's that?
Thank you. And I really do think there's a place for the fullback.
Oh, me too.
It's coming back.
Me too.
It will dominate.
We all do.
Yes.
And
I'm
Jeffrey,
excited.
I'll say this because John has said it to me many times privately, and I just want to say it to you on the air. He greatly admires you. Greatly.
Absolutely.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All for your kind words. And BG, love you. And see you soon. And,
love you too. And see you
we're
soon.
We're going to work at this and make it even better.
Let's go.
All right. Stay well, Jeffrey. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Take care, everybody.
All right. There was the Jeff Lurie interview on WIP this morning. For the first time in over 30 years, he called in.
That's crazy.
For BG Day. How about the little nugget at the end? He said they're going to
bring back the fullback.
The fullback?
They should. That's a dinosaur position.
Yeah, it is.
Fossilized.
Well, they did use Van Sumeren a little bit last year. Then he got hurt. Well, I got Van Sumeren come back. And then the Ty Robinson kid they drafted out of Nebraska, defensive tackle, he played a little fullback on short yardage
that's
in Nebraska. Yeah, I would not want to be in that guy's way. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'd move out of the way quickly. 215-592-9494. That's a hopper. We'll get to more of your phone calls as we celebrate BG Day, Brandon Graham Day here on WIP. Brian Dawkins will join us at 1. And coming up next, LeSean McCoy. Join us to talk about his former teammate, Brandon Graham. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's that time of year again. Time to take a break from talking about bacon to share some grilling wisdom. It's officially grilling season, people. Elevate your grilling game with Hatfield marinated pork tenderloins. They're flavorful and so easy to cook. Hatfield's marinated pork tenderloins are a game changer for any cookout. Tuscan herb. I said herb last time. I got in trouble for that. So it's Tuscan herb, honey garlic teriyaki, lemon garlic.
Play with me?
There are so many flavors to choose from. Head to simplyhatfield.com for retail locations and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Boy, if the Eagles can come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be ceiling. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit. And falls forward,
he fumbled
the football, and the Eagles have it! It is recovered by Barnett. Barnett. Brady fumbles, and Barnett has the ball.
They finally hit Brady.
Ah, there it is. The play that defined Brandon Graham's career. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show on BG Day here, 5-5. Some call it Cinco de Mayo here on the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in just minutes, we'll talk to LeSean Shady McCoy. 1 o'clock, Brian Dawkins. Your calls throughout here. Of course, our Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Well, that's what we're talking about all day. Why do you love BG? Tell us why you love BG on BG Day. Don't forget, afternoon show today is going to be at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville doing their show leading into BG Live tonight at the Colonial Theater. We're going to be hanging out. We'll go say hi to those guys as they do their show today on a special day here in Philadelphia as we honor Brandon Graham for what a career it was. 15 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. And some of those years, of course, spent with another young player at the time who came in a year before Brandon Graham. He was a running back. His name is LeSean McCoy. You know him now as part of the facility on FS1. He's kind enough to give us a few minutes today to talk about his former teammate, Brandon Graham. LeSean, how you doing today, man?
LeSean.
Oh, what's up, guys? I had to call in my guy, Brandon Graham, good friend of mine. So how y'all doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm curious, man, because what do you remember about Brandon in them early Chip Kelly years?
I remember this. I remember that when he first got there, we was booing because we wanted to get what's the
you talking about Earl?
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Stop it! No,
But BG man, I tell you what, he's a great friend, man, great teammate. I don't know if you never got a chance to play with him. To any viewers out there, man, he was an ultimate teammate. Never had a bad day, man. Always kept the competitive nature great in the locker room and on the field. Tremendous career. I'm not surprised, man. Worked extremely hard. You know, and always had a chip on his shoulder. And BG, one of my good friends, when I see him, I always tell him, you're going to be great on TV because you're real. You're authentic. You got that personality people love. And you're an Eagle for life. So that's BG for you.
Well, Sean, we had BG on for the first half hour of our show today, and he was joking about those early training camp days. Because, you know, you guys, you're like the last ones that had real training camp. They don't have that anymore. I mean, we're talking about Lehigh. We're talking about multiple practices a day. What was it like when you and him, both young guys, you know, 09, 10, when he first got here, back when they used to do real training camp, the ones that Hugh participated in? They don't do those anymore.
Real training camp.
Andy Reid, man. Oh, my God. He's a killer, you know? But it was always good, though, because like I said before, you know, you got guys in the locker room like myself, like Brandon Graham, you know, when it's the hard days and everybody's tired and irritated and sore, you need guys to bring everybody alive. And that's who BG was. He would make everybody laugh and joke. Even when you're tired and upset and pissed off, he would find ways to make everybody enjoy playing football. And then when you make a game so physical like football fun, that's when you get the best results. And that's what BG was as a teammate. And that's why he's probably one of the most favorite Eagles because of what he did on the field, but also what he did off the field.
LeSean, how long into Brandon's career did you know he was gonna figure it out? Because he had, you know, it wasn't easy for him in the beginning.
He had a rough couple seasons.
Yep, he had some injuries, rough couple seasons. It took him some time. But did you see signs early on that he was going to be a really good player?
No, not at first. I think about his second year. I said, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Because he's short, right? And he ain't like some guy, like even myself, like you look at me, you like, this kid can't really play. He's small, you know, got a little boy body, ain't real big. You look at BG, he's shorter. And then once he got going, he got a motor about him. And I remember our second year in camp, he start putting a lot of them tackles on their asses, right? Running through them, you know, getting sacks, causing chaos in practice. And that's when I knew BG was going to be special, right? And the last thing is, he's, not only is he super strong, he's smart, man, and everybody don't always bring it. We just watched a playoff series with the Clippers. A guy like James Harden, who's so great, he had 7 points because he doesn't bring it, right? BG is different. He's going to bring it every practice, every game, right? If it's the Giants or Cowboys Monday night, or if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars who's not winning, he's going to bring it. And that's when I known that he was going to be a great player, man, and real impactful for our team.
What does it say to you when I say – BG played 15 years all in one uniform, like for one team. What does that say when you hear that to you?
I think of a special individual. You know, you look at like all the great players. Some had great stats, or played with the team forever. And you think about, you need more than just being a good player. You got to be a great person, not only just on the team, but in the front office and in the community. And that's what DG was. I look at one of my best friends, Aaron Donald and Larry Fitzgerald. Those are all Pitt guys. I went to Pitt. And they played on all the same teams, not just because they were a great player, but they were great to the community, great to the team, great to the fans, right? You got to have all of them things to be on the same, you know, team for 15 years. I'm not talking about 6 years, 5 years, 15 long years, right? Good and bad. He was there when we were losing games, winning Super Bowls, losing Super Bowls. He was there for all of it. And for you to be there for the same team, right, for your whole career, it shows you what type of special individual you have to be to conquer that.
Well, Sean, what was it like to play against him? I'm trying to think back. I think you played against Brandon Run.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, the first year you were gone, right? You came back here with Buffalo and you played the Eagles. Brandon was on, well, obviously against you. Did he trash talk you?
Yeah, oh, he don't never stop talking. I mean, God. Down 30, up 30, he's going to talk trash the whole game. He makes it fun. I remember we played them and I got the ball to the left. And I cut back, right, because you know I like to cut back. And I made like a jump cut, and I shook him, right? I made him miss, and I slipped. And then somebody tackled me. And I remember he was like talking trash, yelling. And then he got close to me and said, damn, boy, you almost got me. So, now, BG was fun to play against, play. He was fun to play with. He was a special, though. You know, and I see his career and how it unfolded, man. I'm happy how everything unfolded for him, you know, getting hurt this last season and find a way to play and then win a championship and run off on a sunset. That's a storybook ending right there,
yeah,
man.
No question about that. For real.
LeSean, what was it like for you? I know you were still in the league at that point, still an active player. What was it like for you when you watched Brandon make that play to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl in 2017? I'm sure he probably had mixed emotions as, you know, being a guy that was here, but you a lot of your teammates, including Brandon, was on the side of that thing. What was it like for you to watch him have that moment?
That's the weird thing. Like, when you're a real Eagle, man, you love your teammates. I remember times where I was cheering for them dudes, man, and hoping he would do well. Super Bowl, they played against Tom Brady. I'm cheering for the Eagles. And when Brandon Graham made that sack, I was so excited because, you know, if you can't do it, you want your boy to do it. And I know how much that Brandon puts into his work and his craft. And to see that, man, Michigan, going against Michigan on that big stage, making that type of sack, that's what makes legends. Right, and that's why we're having this conversation today about Brandon Graham, because plays like that. So I was always happy for him, even watching him, you know, even playing with him. Like, this is some guys you really care about. You know, Fletcher Cox, another guy. I can name a million of them dudes I played with that I had genuine love for, and he's one of them for sure. So I always rooted good for Brandon Graham. And another thing is, like, you know, sometimes you play with players, man, they're good players, and that's just it. Like, after you take a shower and you leave the locker room, you probably won't talk to them. And he's not that. Brandon's type of dude I'm always talking to. He had a great family, great kids, great wife. He's an all-around good person. And you always want to align yourself with people like that.
There's no question. He was. And if it felt like every locker room he was in, every team he was on, he had a positive impact. LeSean, and, you know, we were talking to him earlier about it. It was choppy for him in the beginning, and he had to overcome that. It felt like he was able to channel the negativity and make it a positive. Not every player could do that, LeSean.
They can't. And he didn't start out very good. That's the truth. He wasn't like killing it like that. Oh, my God, we got this bona fide first rounder. He had to really earn it and work for it. And some guys, there's two type of people I always say. There's guys that's like, hell yeah, things ain't going wrong. Or they're not going right. Hell yeah, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Extra film study, working harder, more weight room. And there's other guys that's like, oh, damn. But he wasn't them guys where things ain't going right. They're always pouting and making excuses. And that wasn't Brandon Graham. So everything that he's getting, man, he deserves it because he went through all the bad to get to the good.
Well, he did, and he had a great career. Over 200 games, 2 championships, played in 3 Super Bowls. LeSean, we appreciate you making a few minutes for us today. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be watching your show as we always do. And thank you for joining us on BG Day.
All good, fellas. Happy to talk to you all again, man.
Hey, have a good one, man.
There he goes. LeSean McCoy, Eagles great, joining us, talking about his teammate. And, you know, Hugh, they did come up into similar times, right? McCoy was 09, mm-hmm. and then Brandon was 10. So they were right at the end of the Reed era, and then they both got, you asked about the chip thing. They had to overcome that.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just to hear them talk about, like, LeSean,
And all those guys talk about Chip was a piece of work, man.
Well, it's interesting the story that Ruben Rhea brought up, that obviously that offseason, Chip got rid of Deshaun, and he got rid of LeSean. And then, according to the story Rhea was telling, that they were going to get rid of Brandon, too, until Jeff stepped in and was like, that's enough. Yeah, we're getting rid of too many good players and not getting much back for anything here. I mean,
What you got? Cato June? Was that the linebacker?
No. It was Cato
from
June.
From Miami,
no,
right?
It was...
some weird name.
What was the name of the Kiko Alonso?
Kiko Alonso, yeah.
He made the interception.
Cato June.
I was thinking Kiko, but it came out Cato.
It was Cato June.
No, Cato June was a linebacker, too. He's in the right position.
Yeah,
Cato June played in a different time.
Yeah. He played during my era, didn't he?
I think he was more, if I remember Cato June correctly, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your time. Yeah, you went in a time machine there, Hugh.
You show your age so much.
Dude. I knew
at least
it was,
in the right position. It wasn't like it was a running back.
Hey man, this is what you get when you get in your twilight. That's what happens.
I'm gonna give you a pass on this one. Cato, Kiko.
Kiko is about the same.
Kiko had that sick one-handed interception.
Week one in Atlanta.
Week one, yep.
And that was the last play he made as an Eagle.
Everybody thought that was a good trade.
If I remember correctly, Cato June and Kiko Alonso looked nothing like each other.
No.
If you did an opposite.
I just thought the name.
The name.
Was the one that got me.
Cato was a Colt?
I think so.
I think he was. He actually might be a coach now, or he was at some point. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Shady giving us a few minutes. Coming up at 1, we will talk
to... They definitely don't look
they're the... I mean, whatever you want to say, they're opposites. One looks that way, one looks that way. there's a spectrum of the way they look, Hugh. They're on totally different sides.
Not your best work.
Yeah, no, it's not. Again, I'm going to give Hugh a little pass on this. But
I don't think I will.
Oh, is that surprising?
Well, Cato and Kiko sound similar.
Yeah.
Put up a poll. Does Hugh get a pass for mixing up Cato June and Kiko Alonso?
You know what? Don't even waste the characters. I already know what
that is. Just put up the two photos. Do these two people remind you of each other? Kiko Alonso, Cato June.
No, see, because when you do that and you don't have any context, people go like, what's wrong with it?
But there's no context on the internet. You know that. Just dumb things that we say.
We don't do context.
No.
This is true.
Context. I mean, Kyle's playing us both with bad voice moments here. I mean, every cut we have of you is out of context. He's a good player. 17 and a half sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Yeah, excuse me. Sign Ranger to a long-term deal.
No, he's not worth it. Long-term deal.
Yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah, that's not make us look good. All right, coming up at 1, we have Brian Dock. It's your phone calls right now. Let's go to Rob in Delco. Tell him about why he loves PG. What's up, Rob? Rob going once. Rob going twice.
Tough, Rob.
It's a bad look for Rob.
Bad look.
Rob's usually better than this.
Hey, man, all I know is this Eagles autism challenge, I got to beat you.
You still behind me?
Yeah, I'm still behind. Oh. So I need y'all. I just tweeted it out. I got to beat. Y'all, help me.
So now,
I got to beat.
On.
I got to beat, Joe.
Now you're pandering to the audience.
Yeah, because Rob, we had to fill some time because Rob's not prepared.
Okay.
So
as much as Hugh wants to beat me, I want to help him because this is for a great.
Yeah, the Eagles. It's for a great cause. Eagles Autism Challenge. So I just retweeted it.
Yeah.
So if you could just, you know, if y'all could just help
me. You could just go to my page and donate to me, so I'd be Hugh. So this has now become personal.
No, I'm just saying, because I mean, I just need a win today.
Okay.
So I just took an L because it's Cinco de Mayo, which I thought was yesterday.
It's still going to be a great day. We get to go to the Great American Pub today.
Yeah, we do. We do that.
It's going to be a W.
This Eagles Autism Challenge, I just need to beat Joe.
All right. Eagles Autism Challenge is coming up on May 17th.
No, you still have Rob up, right?
Rob, you there?
Oh, he ain't say nothing.
Rob.
Oh, I'm just waiting for him to talk, and that's
fine.
We
just waiting for him to talk.
Yeah, he could just
hang
out.
That's why I just preemptive striked and, you know, help me out. I need some help.
All right. Hugh tweeted out the link to his donation page. I'll tweet out mine, too. I didn't realize we were in a competition. This was a silent competition until Hugh brought it to the air.
Yeah,
but donate to either one of our pages because it's obviously for a great cause. Rob, I'm giving you one more chance. 1, 2. All right, Rob goes back on hold. Kev in South Philly. BG.
Hey,
what's up, Kev?
What's up,
what's
Kev?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Kev.
There's so many great things we could talk about with BG, right? Now, the one thing I think so awesome is, you know, we talk about the strip sack. One year, I was saying this to Kyle. I forget what year it was, but Derek Gunn kept counting Eagles out. And after every single game, he would walk back to the locker room, Gunn standing there with the microphone. He turns the corner, Gunn, screaming at him. laughing the whole time. He's like, oh, you counted us out. Like, every single game, it was hysterical. I loved every second of it.
You know, I remember it, too. Part of me thinks it was 2021 when they started off really bad with Sirianni, and then they made the playoffs. I think, Kevin, that might have been the year, or maybe 2019 when they struck. But they had a few of those years, Kev, where they, you know, they got off to rocky starts, 3-6 or 4-6, and then they rallied to make the playoffs. I remember that. That was great. It was like, it was almost like, I told you so. You doubted us too fast. Those were always fun to watch.
Now, on top of that, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, how great the story is of Brandon Graham. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Jeffrey Lurie, like, a movie producer?
Yes.
Why don't they try to put a work in to make some kind of Brandon Graham movie and all that? And then with that, start selling the what would BG do bracelets. They would make a killing.
They probably already got that in the works.
You know what? I'd watch it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a good idea. I mean, it really is an inspiration for the next wave of athletes in the city. Like,
yeah, you know, I mean, just keep believing in yourself, keep grinding, keep a positive attitude. I mean, that's what I try to tell my kids, man. It's hard. It's always hard. I mean, we're always getting kicked, but you keep watching him, you're like, hey, what would Brandon Graham do here? Yeah.
And he really is the opposite of some guys we've seen. Ben Simmons came up a few minutes ago with a caller. But like,
he's a pansy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the worst. But the idea is like a guy that has a bunch of talent and underachieves. Meanwhile, Brandon Graham, who's talented, obviously, was a first-round pick. And Kevin, we appreciate the call. But Brandon Graham got the most, Hugh, out of what he had. Like, he got there's a lot of words you could use to describe players and athletes. He achieved, or you might say overachieved, but Brandon Graham at least achieved everything he had in his body. And then you have people like Ben Simmons, who's underachieved his whole career.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about a guy that worked hard, man, and was always positive. And there's something to be said about that, especially when you talk about some of the seasons that he's had where he could have taken a negative spin and got better, but he never did that. He never once did.
So he had less petty than you would have had?
Yeah, way less petty.
Well, that's why attitude, A is for attitude in his book. Have you read the book yet?
Yeah, I've skimmed through
it. A is for attitude. Attitude changes everything. C is for confidence, you. Just make
sure.
Well,
I got confidence, but I got attitude, but it's more of a negative. Mm. Negative attitude.
A lot of this can apply to you. I is for imagination, which we hear about in the Daily Douglas.
Vivid imagination.
Yeah, you do.
E for excuse making.
Yeah, I don't make excuses.
We're going to help you write your book.
E is for event planning.
No, it's for excuse making. If there's an ABCs of Hugh Douglas, E is for excuse making.
Yep.
I don't make excuses. I just
P is for petty.
What'd you say? Alternate facts.
S is for spin.
Spin?
Yep.
I do like the S in Brandon's book. Have you seen it? It's S is for swagger.
Swagger?
He's got a little swagger in that one. Yeah, swagger is built.
Dressed up?
He's dressed up in that one with his glasses. Yep. T is for team. Just making sure you know
I'm a team
all these.
Guy.
You are no, you're a team. You're
a T for Hugh is for tongue tied for sure.
But
a little bit of that.
We're gonna work on my book. I would just need to figure out the age appropriation for it.
Yeah, I would say not 5s and 6s and 7 year olds.
I got
not.
An A for you too, actually.
Ambiwiggity. Ambiwiggity. Yeah, I'll take that one.
I'm telling you, this book would sell.
So T is for tomato cans or canada pants.
Well, you could do one. Tans. You could do T for tomato cans, and then C for canada tans.
That'd be a nice book. This might be a children's book.
Now, this book is going to help change lives. Your book would sell. I don't know how many lives your book is changing, but it would certainly sell. Mike in Downingtown, what's up, Mike?
Hey guys,
Mike, what's going on?
Hey, I'm trying to eat lunch, guys.
Oh,
you call us.
You know what, Mike?
Well,
that's on me.
I'm
sorry.
Joe, why would you go to Mike when he's eating lunch?
Next time,
how
I will wait until after lunch to go to each caller who calls during lunchtime.
Hey, you guys already touched on it. For me, what I remember, I can still remember to this day with watching Brandon Graham being a number one pick. He's a defensive guy. It's a little harder to show yourself, you know, in the media when you're on the defensive side, but man, you could just see a spark in his game, the way he played. And, you know, you heard the early doubts he wasn't big enough. But, man, you could just see the spark, the motor he had. And you just said, this is going to be a Philadelphia guy. And week in, week out, you could tell he was blocking out the media. And, you know, he just grew on people. And that's why he's the favorite that he is today.
Well, he is, you know, and he brought it every week. I mean, you know, every game you felt like you were getting max effort out of Brandon Graham.
Oh man, what a motor! And then to cap it off with the strip sack, you know, you can't write that stuff. You know, Not in Philadelphia. You just can't write it.
I mean, it is a storybook ending. And then, Mike, this year, I mean, to be a big part of a defense that was the best in the NFL in his 15th year of his career, I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and then he breaks the career record for games, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's going to get out in history as one of the great defenders for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, there's no question. He's awesome.
In a sense of humor, the guy's a riot. He's trash-talking. He's just an absolute riot.
I know that's the fun part is that my good phone call, Hugh, because he is he's a nice guy, but he also has that
trash talker.
Trash talker, yeah.
Yeah, he kept it clean. I mean, he kept it real clean. That's what I admired about him, is that he was able to keep his trash talk to the ones that we heard.
Yeah.
It wasn't a whole lot of colorful language.
Yep.
It was ones that, you know, like Rhea said earlier, you could probably play an hour of him trash talking.
It's actually a really good idea for NFL films.
Yeah.
I would watch that. If you tell me like at 9 o'clock one night, the Brandon Graham trash talk hour is on, I'm in. I'm watching it. And we all know your trash talking story. Who'd you try to trash talk?
Jumbo? B-Hop.
B-Hop.
Brandon Hopkins.
Hopkins from the Titans?
Brad Hopkins.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
not in my favor. But I used to do it all the time. But see, you couldn't.
Willie Rofe, too.
Yeah, with a teabag.
I called him a mean and hurtful name, though. I didn't use. I worked the blue.
Did you think to pick your spots? Like maybe I shouldn't trash talk Willie Rofe?
No, after the maybe Brad
pick
Hopkins.
Maybe pick on a tackle. It's not that good.
After that one, I kind of started. But no, I would talk trash to anybody.
Yeah. And
I
then
didn't care.
Willie Rofe,
he did me bad. But hey, listen, I told him I ain't no punk. You ain't gonna take my Fruit Loops.
And then what'd he do?
I took the Fruit Loops, man.
Man, yeah. They cleaned my clock. Oh my gosh.
You know,
Ed did set on my chest. That was the worst part about it. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. You know what? You're gonna make me find Willie Rofe and swing on him. Like, I remember what you did to me. It was embarrassing.
It still hurts all these years later.
It's embarrassing.
You know how Rhea had the idea for the 1 hour of Brandon Graham trash talking? Would you watch 1 hour, Kyle, of Hugh Douglas getting beat up by tackles?
1 hour?
And now, in my defense, I ain't get beat up a lot.
No, but that's
it'd be more like 15 minutes.
Well,
it
won't be, I don't know.
Hey, we ain't going to talk about that last year in Jacksonville. That might
be 50 minutes of the 1 hour. By the way, who was it? Who had the thing? It was a Trent? Trent had. You know, that hands on the hips thing, you did that your whole career. Did you pick up on that, Kyle? Trent brought up to us, Trent Cole.
Oh, no, he talking about, but this day was a little different.
You had your hand on your hips because you were cooked.
Oh, yeah, I was done.
But if you watch the Bye Bye Barry documentary, when Barry runs past you, you have the hands on your hips.
Because it's like I'm thinking at that point. So I just stopped and said, well, ain't too much I can do about that.
He
about 30, 40 yards in front of me.
If we find an old scouting report on Hugh Douglas, they're going to be like, wow, high motor, good player, gets a lot of sacks. But when things go bad, hands on his hips, he gives up. It's the calling card.
No, it's more like, let's assess this situation here. How much energy are we going to disperse trying to catch Barry?
Yeah, nah, well, you
weren't
catching.
That's a lost cause. I mean, like seriously, who's catching Barry from behind?
I saw some teammates chasing.
They did, but because they were in the frame and they just had to keep it. They just had to make it look good.
Also, you didn't realize 25 years later there'd be a documentary.
I did not, but I was like, damn.
That clip.
You don't realize like how you try to frame it for people. Barry was the absolute quickest and fat. Like, normally you're one or the other. You're either quick or you're fast.
He's both.
He was quick and fast. And when he changed direction, man, It was a sight to behold. I played in an era where my first couple years in the NFL, I was a spectator. I had the best seat in the house. Dan Marino, best seat in the house. To watch him work and just run that offense
that he
ran.
Weren't you supposed to be hitting him?
I was supposed to be.
okay.
Bruce Smith, watch him work. Man, who else? Bryce Pop, I could throw him in there. Who else is in our division? Curtis Martin, Willie McGinnis.
Sure.
I got Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law. Like, you watch some cats. I played in a division where it was some dogs in that division.
Sure.
Marshall Faulk, man, it was crazy time.
215-592-9049 for your phone calls and joining us next, Brian Dawkins to weigh in on the great career of Brandon Graham. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.